Welcome to Jury Duty, I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we concluded our look at the prosecution's direct examination of forensic pathologist Dr. Alan Reamer regarding the fatal wounds suffered by Paul Murdoch. In this installment, we move on to Dr. Reamer's testimony regarding the wounds inflicted upon Maggie Murdoch. That's all coming up right after the break.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It is the late afternoon of February 13th, 2023, day 14 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we closed our last episode, Creighton Waters concluded his questioning of forensic pathologist Dr. Alan Reamer regarding autopsy photos of the gunshot wounds to Paul Murdoch's body. As we begin this installment, Prosecutor Waters continues his direct examination of Dr. Reamer by moving on to her analysis of the wounds suffered by Maggie Murdoch.
Let's move now, if we can, to Maggie Murdoch, and you did her autopsy as well as you described in the jury, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
All right, and how many gunshot wounds, just very quickly, did you observe on Maggie?
So she sustained a total of 5 gunshot wounds from a minimum of 4 shots. So it could have been from 4 shots with 5 wounds or 5 separate shots. And I will explain once we do that.
Prosecutor Waters holds up a poster board with the diagram of a female human body. Dr. Reamer uses the diagram as a visual aid as she explains her analysis to the jury.
Kind of what's been marked as States 501. And again, this is another diagram that would assist you in explaining the
injuries. Yes, so this is the female, or the woman diagram. And and this is what I used to take notes while I performed the autopsy.
Creighton Waters briefly holds up the diagram of the male human body that Dr. Reamer used to help explain her analysis of the wounds to Paul Murdoch's body.
And going back to States 500, and this is Paul, is that correct?
Yes.
And you had an arrow right here kind of showing the direction of shot number one, is
yes.
That right? Can you do an arrow for shot number
sure.
two, please?
Waters then returns the witness's attention to the diagram of a female human body.
All right, going back to 501, this would be Maggie, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, if you could start to detail the injuries that you observed to Maggie in what is the most probable order based on your review
okay.
of the evidence.
Well, first of all, this was a different weapon. It was not a shotgun with wadding and pellets. These injuries that Maggie sustained were they're completely consistent with an assault rifle. Okay, so it's a different weapon. And I'm going to go through the 5 wounds, and then we'll think about how I'll try to explain my opinion as to the likely order, just sort of like we figured out Paul's shotgun wound to the chest came first, but we'll do the same with her. But she's got a few more wounds, so it could be a little bit more, require a little bit more logical thinking. Okay, so she had an entrance wound that was right over there. Okay, it's kind of right below the rib cage, not far from the middle of her midline of her body. And that wound, okay, now we're going to remember, you know, this is right and left. It's very easy to get the right-left situation confused, but that's going from front to back and downward, and there was an exit wound kind of like right down here, okay? So It entered here, okay, so we're in a kind of downward direction. It was actually 10 inches below where it entered, so it's pretty low. You know, down here was the exit wound, and on the way, that projectile, that bullet, went through the abdominal wall, that's like our muscle and all that, and then once it got inside the body, it went through mesentery, which is the supportive tissues of our intestines. So it went through mesentery, has all the blood vessels and lymphatics, all that stuff that supports our intestines. The intestines take up a lot of room in there. Now it's continuing to go toward the back of her body, went through the pancreas, okay, which is kind of toward the back. And then it, as it's traveling left, it went through the left kidney and left iliac artery, which is a blood vessel that is leads off the aorta before exiting the left side of the back.
And let's go ahead. Can we do the second wound, and then we'll talk about both of those together in a second, if we could.
So we've got two that are basically completely to the front of the body, directly to the front. And the other, there's another wound that's kind of on the front inside of the left thigh, like kind of like over there, okay? And this one is also going from front to back and toward the left and downward. So these two shots follow a parallel path. They're both, so this is the left, okay, left leg, right, left thigh. And the exit wound was in the back of the left thigh. And it actually, this is a little bit too high, okay? I should, you know, but it was lower. It's traveling in a downward direction and also with a kind of a slight right to left. So I'm going to draw an arrow to indicate the direction, okay? So that one's going like that. And then this one is also going in the same direction, downward toward the back.
And those, you said, followed kind of a parallel trajectory?
Yes, they had a relatively parallel trajectory. Another feature of each of these wounds is that, remember we talked about gunpowder stippling, when somebody is shot at a relatively close range. Well, both of these wounds had gunpowder stippling around them. Okay.
Go ahead and remind the jury what stippling indicates about probable distance from a firearm.
Yeah, so within 3 feet. You don't usually see it any more than 3 feet. Sometimes it's within 2 feet, but depending on the firearm, I can't say exactly, but it's somewhere in that range. You know.
So fairly close range of parallel trajectories for these two wounds.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
And they both exited the left side of the body. One was on, this is her left leg. It's really easy to get toned around here, okay? Left thigh, and the other's on the left side of the lower back. And the one to the left leg actually just went through. It went through muscle and soft tissue. It didn't actually break a bone.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Under the questioning of Prosecutor Creighton Waters, Dr. Ellen Reamer continues her description of the wounds sustained by Maggie Murdoch. Dr. Reamer again uses the diagram of the female human body as a visual aid in her explanations to the jury.
All right, let's go ahead and do all the wounds. Can we go to the next wound that we have? And before we do that, was there a wound to the wrist in this particular instance?
Yes, there was a wound to the wrist, and it was on the left wrist. The entrance wound was somewhere around here. Okay, so this is her left wrist, and then the exit wound was a little bit higher on the inside of the arm. So this is the kind of the hairy part, this part, and then the inside where there was an exit wound.
All right, and using my left hand, can you kind of point generally to the jury about the location of those?
Yeah, so kind of going in here and out there.
All right, so that's three gunshot injuries at this point, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, now tell me about the fourth one, if you would.
Okay. Please. So the fourth one was somewhat unusual because it's going in an upward direction through the body. Okay, there was an entrance wound on the underside of the left breast that exited like the top of the left breast. Okay, and from there we have some marks on, there's like bruising on the left side of the chest up here, the left clavicle, and that bullet continued through the underside of the left side of the face. Okay, so there's a wound kind of like over there, okay, and it's everything is kind of going up. So this was an exit, and then we have like a re-entrance, okay? So we have a series of defects. We have, this is an entrance, an exit, and then the bullet continued through the left side of the face and lower ear area and into her head, okay? Now, in addition to
just real quick, those first two wounds that you described, the wound to the abdomen and the wound to the leg, and those were both to the front of the body, is that correct?
Correct.
And they both had a similar parallel trajectory, is that correct?
Yes.
Would those, either one of those wounds have been immediately fatal?
No.
All right. The wound you just described, and how about the wound to the wrist? Would that have been immediately fatal?
No.
What about the wound that you just described that went in near the breast and then went into the head?
Yes, that would have been immediately fatal because when it entered the left side of the face, it basically destroyed the brain.
As Dr. Reamer testifies, Alex Murdoch appears to weep and shake in his seat.
And was there another gunshot injury, traumatic gunshot injury, aside from that?
Yes, but I'm going to, before I continue, I did want to mention that there was an abrasion, kind of a scrape below that, which indicates, below her left breast. So it indicates before it actually went through the left breast, it kind of scraped along the abdomen as it was going upward before it went into her head.
On the injury, the gunshot wound, the assault rifle wound to the abdomen and the assault rifle wound to the leg, you said there was stippling there. Is that correct?
Yes. Other wounds did not have any stippling. Right. So they were from further back.
The wrist wound had no stippling?
Correct.
And that wound that you just described going up into Maggie's head, that did not have any stippling either?
Correct.
All right. You mentioned there's one more as well to her head, is that correct?
Yes.
All right, describe that to the jury using this chart, please, or this diagram.
Okay. So there was an entrance wound to the back of the head, okay, that was kind of like right over there, okay, and it's kind of near the base of her skull, and that was going downward, okay. Now this is like automatic rifle, it's a rifle ammunition, so it's not a single, cylindrical projectile that remains intact. These rifles, the projectiles fragment as they go through the body. That's one of the mechanisms by which they do enormous damage. Okay. Now this wound was going in a downward direction, and then we have lots of exit wounds on the right side of her upper back where all of those fragmented projectiles, fragments, exited. And this wound, it's in a clearly downward direction. It entered the back of her head, went through the back of the skull, and through the brainstem and cerebellum. Okay, so these are vital portions at the very bottom of the brain. But it did not enter into her chest. It continued just scraping along the top of the back. So we know this is going in a downward direction. So how do we reconcile? How do we make sense of a wound that's going upward and then another wound that's going downward? Okay, you'll recall this wound that went through her left breast and into the left side of her face injured her brain, right? She's not going to be standing anymore. Now, how would this even go upward? Okay, that those first two shots, right? The one to her, or we'll say the one to her, it's the right side of her abdomen. That went, remember, through her pancreas and the left kidney. Kidney pain is is usually very painful. We can imagine this did not immediately cause death, but she may have been bent over straight, and that puts her in a position, if someone's bending over, leaning over, to get a gunshot wound that goes along. So when we look at her body in an upright position, and she's got a gunshot wound going upward, we know it's going upward because it ended in her head. Probably her body was bent over, and it may have been that she just sustained this very painful wound to her abdomen, not in addition to her thigh, and she was most likely, in my opinion, bent over or even possibly on the ground, but not completely lying flat, at the time, because then we never had been able to go through the front, we have some like skin areas here. So if she's bent over, we have some skin folds, we're gonna get a skip, plus it went through the underside of the left breast, exited the top of the left breast, so that would indicate that her breast may have been sort of, a lot of pain down a little bit.
Creighton Waters next offers his own corpus as a visual aid. The prosecutor positions himself between Dr. Reamer and the jury and asks the witness to use a pointing stick to indicate on his own body the location of each of the gunshot wounds sustained by Maggie Murdoch.
Wes, if you would, just again, use me if you could to describe some of the concepts you're talking about. And let's start with those first two shots to the abdomen, and then just kind of position me as we move on to the shots.
All right, so the entrance would be about there, right, top of the abdomen, and it went through the body, exiting on the left side of the lower back. Mm-hmm. And while it was in the body, went through the pancreas and the left kidney and a blood vessel nearby.
All right, and then the wound to the thigh.
Okay, the thigh was kind of on the front, but a little bit toward the inside area. And that exited lower down on the left thigh, in the back of the left back.
The one to the abdomen, that has been very painful?
Yes. I mean, kidney, if you ever knew anybody that had a kidney stone, kidney stones are some of the worst pain in medicine. People who aren't get a kidney stone have to be on very high doses of morphine just to control the pain. Well, she had projectiles, ammunition going through her left kidney. We can imagine that was a very painful wound and may have caused her to like fold over in pain.
So something like this?
Yes.
All right. Could it even been that she went to the ground, she's on her hands and knees, something like this?
Yes, that's also possible. And she could have had her head bent down or like sort of touching the ground at that point as well.
This shot, this one right here, that you described right there, is there any way at that point in time she could have been completely prone flat on the ground like this?
No, because then it's not just going to go up. So she has to at least have been, I can't say for sure, but it makes sense that after receiving those first two shots, she's going to be bent over at least, or possibly, even lower to the ground, enabling her to get a wound, perfect. Okay, going through the front of the left side of the chest, and if your head is bent over even further, you can imagine it's going to go into the head like that. Okay, so when I first look at this, I'm like, what? It takes a little, but in retrospect, now that I've made sense of this, it all comes together. So
far at this point in time, we've talked about the abdomen and the thigh wound. In your opinion, are those two shots the first two shots she suffered?
Yes, I think she was standing upright at the time, and then she only could have gotten the wound to the left side of, through the left side of the front into her head if she's horizontal, but not completely on the ground. And but after sustaining that wound, okay,
she could have been down on her hands and knees,
or just bent over. Right, it went into her brain. She's going to fall to the ground completely, and that puts her in a position to get the gunshot wound to the back of the head. I can't really, you know, you're too far away for that.
Sorry, I'm going to go over here, but show me that last wound.
Okay, so the last wound was going in a downward direction, entered here, and it's kind of, you know, enough to fracture the skull and go through the back of the brain, which is like the brain stem, and then have just a bunch of exit wounds there. So that's that actually is in kind of a downward direction. So we've got something going upward, we have something going downward, and it only makes sense that the one to the left side of the front occurred first, because if she, the one to the back of the head was, she basically just already had injury to the brain sufficient to have killed her. The one to the back of the head that went down was, additional wound, the one to the, that entered the left side of the brain was already sufficient to have killed her.
If she had not suffered this wound right here, the one where she's hunched over her hands and knees, if she had not suffered that one, would this one to the back of head also been immediately fatal?
Yes, either one of them would have been immediately fatal. That one went through the brain stem and the cerebellum. That those sections of the brain, their whole job is to keep us alive. They keep us breathing and set the cardiac rhythm. And without that, none of us would be here.
But in your opinion, abdomen and thigh is first. This one that went through her breast into her head is after that, and then this one is when she's prone on the ground to the back of the head.
Yes, so I do think this isn't something that I, you know, immediately realized, but after thinking about it, how, you know, this gunshot wounds to one person, how do I make sense of this? And this is the most likely logical sequence of shots that she sustained. I also want to mention, remember we have this wound to the, so we have four we know about, right? We've got right side of the abdomen, left thigh, the left side of the head in the front, through her breast first, and then we have this last wound while she was prone on the ground, okay, to the back of the head. We also have this additional wound to the left wrist, that exited a little bit higher. Now, is it possible that her arm was just somewhere and got shot? Yes. But remember, we know that she must have been in a lot of pain in her abdomen from that shot that went through the abdomen. And if she is bent over, where would her hand likely be? You know, it makes sense she might be bent over with her hand right there. And so, if her hand is bent, she's got her hand on her belly, the wound entering the left wrist could exit there before actually going up. So if she's got her hand on her belly, I don't know if that's actually happened, but that's why I described five individual gunshot wounds. But it could, because the left wrist could have moved, it could have happened before another one.
And what you just described there with her wrist kind of close to her stomach after suffering that abdominal and thigh wound, that is consistent with the evidence what you just described. Is that correct? That having her hand right there?
It would be consistent. I can't say 100% that that's what happened. But, that is a gunshot wound to the left wrist, and it may have been sustained while she had her hand on her abdomen.
With that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdoch. Please join us on our next installment as we continue our review of the testimony of forensic pathologist Dr. Alan Reamer. Also, check out the Ambie-nominated crime story podcast Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty crime story Patreon page.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie and Tholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law and Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.